The Pat Kenny Show
with MasterCard. Share in extraordinary experiences all over the world with priceless cities at priceless.com.
This is News Talk.
Now this. Called The Truce of Twilight by The Good, The Bad and The Queen. And to explain all, we have Stuart Clark, Deputy Editor of Hot Press.
Good morning. Their album Merryland is out today. It's fantastic. Now, The Good, The Bad and The Queen are Damon Albarn, Paul Simonon from The Clash, Simon Tong from The Verve and 78-year-old Nigerian veteran Tony Allen. They released their first album in 2007 and then took a very extended break. In that time, Damon has released four Gorillaz albums, a Blur record, a solo album, four film scores, an opera in Chinese.
In Chinese. Now, is there a message from this album? Does it preach to us?
It is a State of the Brexit Nation address. They wouldn't be Farage or Rees-Mogg fans. There are mentions of the Windrush generation, class, identity, World War One, and shock horror, lying politicians.
So it's very much of the moment.
It's quite chill, but in a sort of a dark, brooding way. A couple of songs, including that one, sound like Guns of Brixton, the Clash dub reggae song. You have to put the work in. It took me half a dozen plays to really get it, but like I say, a great record. There will be live shows, so hopefully we'll see them here soon.
Would you believe me now if I told you I got caught up in a wave? Almost gave it away. Would you hear me out if I told you I was terrified for days? Thought I was gonna break. Oh, I couldn't stop it, tried to slow it all down. Crying in the bathroom, had to figure it out. With everyone around me saying, you must be so happy now. Oh, you keep reaching.
Now, that's called Light On by Maggie Rogers, and her debut album is due, but when?
January the 18th. It'll be the first classic record of 2019. Heard it in a past life. You were just saying Joni Mitchell. I get that.
Yeah.
I hear Suzanne Vega, Amy Mann, and a little itty bit of Joan Baez, all the good stuff. She's 23 from Eastern Maryland and has been championed by Pharrell Williams, which is a big deal, obviously, in the States. She's in town tonight supporting Mumford & Sons, so no loitering in the bar beforehand. She's also playing solo shows in the Academy on February the 14th and 15th. Grab a ticket if you can.
Now, you were saying last week Irish rock and roll is getting a bit dirty again. Try this.
Loose from you's ungrateful hand. As it stands, I'm about to make a lot of money. Gold hats in the pan. None can revolution lead with selfish needs aside. As I cried, I'm about to make a lot of money. Gold hats on the side. Is it too real for ya? Is it too real for ya? Is it too real for ya? Is it too real? The winter evening settles down. The bruised and beat up open sky. 6 o'clock, the
All right, that's the new single from Fontaines DC, Too Real it's called. Heavy enough sound there.
The quintessential Marmite band, those vocals, you either love them or you hate them. I love them. Very Mark E. Smith, Sleaford Mods and Johnny Cooper Clark. Great reviews on both sides of the Atlantic, so we'll be hearing a lot of them noisily over the next year or two.
Now, sad news for some fans of a particular band, The Stripes.
Yeah, after 8 years of fighting the good fight, they've called it a day. Really good band and nice guys too. They'll be missed. Josh has been playing with Paul Weller, so he's got a big career ahead of him. Two of the boys are now on an acting agency's books, so they could be going the thespian route. We'll be seeing a lot more of them. I mean, they're 23 and already have an 8-year career. Elton John was a fan. Roger Daltrey loved them. Yeah. I mean, the fan club was quite incredible. Noel Gallagher, and of course, as I say, Paul Weller was a real champion. So some great sweaty nights to look back on. Thank you, The Stripes.
Now, you almost got up early this morning for this. Such an innocent age. The Spice Girls are back.
In fairness, Pat, I was never their target audience. You had that encounter, didn't you, with Scary Spice
yes,
that time?
Yes, indeed I did. I enjoyed them all, actually. I got to meet them all at various stages. I met Mel C in Portugal.
Mel C's
she was
cool.
doing a gig. I was down on holiday and she was doing a gig for New Year's Eve in Albufeira. And I met her and we reacquainted ourselves.
She had a decent solo career. I saw her live in Dolan's in Limerick and she was really, really good. But yeah, they're kicking off their reunion tour on March the 29th in Croke Park. The special guest is Jess Glynn, on sale next Thursday. There won't be a hairdresser at work the following morning. There really won't.
Anyway, you won't be going, I presume.
I'm busy that night, Pat. Mm.
Now, another young woman back in town, Dido.
Dido, absolutely. Where is the date now? I've got this written down here.
The Olympic Theatre, May 27th.
May 27th, 2019. Plenty of time to organise the babysitter. On sale now, £55.65. Her first Dublin show in 15 years, like you say. It's weird because I think probably motherhood got in the way, which is a noble pursuit. Mm. But wonderful voice, and I imagine there'll be a real sellout crowd there.
Very good. Now, it's not quite the anniversary because the anniversary is December the 8th, but some interesting news about this story.
Late this evening, one of the world's great entertainers and musicians, John Lennon of the Beatles, was shot outside his New York home. So we begin tonight by bringing you up to date on that story. John Lennon was shot 3 times at around 11 p.m. Eastern Time. He was rushed to New York's Roosevelt Hospital, but died a few minutes later. Police have a suspect in custody whom they describe only as a local screwball.
Now, that's extraordinary. Almost 40 years ago, when you think about it, John Lennon shot dead. And what's emerged is information about the man who did it, Mark David Chapman.
Oh, it's incredible, Pat. I was talking recently to Willie Nile, who's an acolyte of Bruce Springsteen's, and he's one of the last people to see John alive and took telephone calls from various family members in the studio. Have you heard from John? And he hasn't gone over it. And I don't think any John Lennon fan has. But yeah, as they said, Mark Chapman was a screwball, in inverted commas, mental health problems. But apparently it was kind of like, will I, won't I? It was only at the last minute he decided to actually sort of kill him. And I was listening just the other night, not knowing about this sort of footage and what's been going on, but just to the White Album. And we played an excerpt a couple of weeks ago. You listen to it and you just realise the talent and the fact it was made in, 1968. But it still sounds factory fresh. It could have been made today. Yeah. And for something to sound so relevant, you know, now, it is a real talent. So, you know, I suppose you shouldn't treat Chapman differently to any other murderer in a way when it comes to parole.
But this came in the parole hearing. It's emerged that he admitted that he was torn. Will I get his autograph or will I shoot him?
I know, it was so arbitrary. But Yoko Ono has said that she fears for her life and for that of their son. And It's very difficult, because I say, if he hadn't murdered John Lennon, it'd have been someone else. He might be out now on parole. But it's very hard for any music lover to kind of think it's a good idea for him to be back on the streets.
The Catcher in the Rye book was central to whatever was going through Mark Chapman's head.
I must admit, when I was in New York, I did go to the house and just sort of stand there. And it was very kind of eerie. And there was three or four other fans just on a sort of a vigil. It was a shame, because he'd had a really tough time. And, you know, he wasn't always the nicest man. The 70s weren't sort of very kind to him. But he'd just got his marriage together, his music together. And you felt there was going to be another chapter. And we could have had great records for God knows how long to come. So it's incredibly sad. And I still remember hearing the news at home at my mum's, and it was a JFK moment. You were just in shock. He'd always been there and did seem larger than life and kind of indestructible.
Before I let you go, Stuart, you were explaining to me about why the two leagues will never combine, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, the IFA and the FAI. And it's not really to do with the quality of the team we might produce.
No, well, Michael O'Neill, I interviewed him a couple of years ago, said it's because Linfield and Cliftonville want their Europa League places, as do Dundalk, Cork and Shamrock Rovers. And if you combine the two, you're only going to have half the number of places on this island. So I don't think the clubs will vote for it on those grounds.
OK, self-interest and a bit of cash.
Self-interest. I mean, I think you get something like €750,000 just for qualifying for the Champions League preliminaries. And I think, you know, being in the Europa League's $200,000, you compare that to the prize money for the clubs on both sides of the border. And it's a huge amount of money. They desperately need that to continue.
All right. Well, that's an insight from Stuart. Stuart Clark, Deputy Editor of Hot Press, thank you very much.